His trial in 2000 came and went without much fanfare. He was convicted by a jury in only 2 hours. But his story got new life when it captivated podcast listeners in 2014. And his innocence or guilt has many people firmly divided into two camps. He's never taken responsibility, but maybe it's because he didn't do it. This is the story of Adnan Syed and whether he might be returning to prison. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here. I'm a Midwesterner who now lives in New York City, putting my writing degree to use by researching true crime cases that interest me, and hopefully you. And hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. Today's case is likely familiar to you thanks to the popularity of the first season of the Serial podcast. And you know I usually stay away from the cases everyone else has covered to death, but this is one of those that just lives in my head. And a lot has actually happened since the original sentencing, and things are continuing to happen even now. So I'm going to cover the evidence and the latest news about why Adnan may be going back to prison after he was let out. 18-year-old Haemin Lee was a senior at Woodlawn High School in Baltimore County, Maryland, when she went missing. The principal of her high school called her quiet yet warm, popular and well-liked. She was born in South Korea on October 15, 1980, and came to the U.S. in 1992 with her mom and brother while her dad stayed behind. She was on the lacrosse and field hockey teams, managed the wrestling team, was in a special gifted academic program at school, and worked at a lens crafter's store because she hoped to become an optician one day.
How about any school activities while you're here?
I played field hockey for 2 years. I've played lacrosse for 3 years, and I also managed boys wrestling.
That's a lot to do. Do you have time to have a job while you're doing this?
Yeah, I'm trying to manage my schoolwork and my after-school work.
Hay was supposed to pick up her cousin on January 13th, 1999, on her way to work, but she never showed up for either.
No reason at all. Not a family fight, not having a hard time at school. I mean, you're talking to a person that's involved in an honors program. There's no reason for this disappearance, and it's very troubling to the family, and we as investigators want to find her as soon as we can.
Her remains were finally discovered on February 9th when a college maintenance man stopped in nearby Leakin Park to pee in the woods back off the road. There, he noticed parts of a body coming up through the ground. Hay had been hit with a blunt object, strangled by hand, and buried in a shallow grave. Her current boyfriend and ex-boyfriend were questioned immediately when Hay went missing, but days after her body was found, an anonymous caller suggested that the police take another look at her ex, 17-year-old Adnan Syed.
News of Syed's arrest is met with disbelief by the Muslim community in Woodlawn.
It's impossible. He cannot do it. He's such a nice, sweet child. He cannot do it. He's mosque going, praying all the time. He cannot do it.
He's a sensitive guy. He's gentle. He has no kind of delinquency record. He's not violent. He's just a kid. He's a baby. He's like my little brother.
The Chaudhrys believe public pressure on police to break the case has landed the wrong person behind bars.
He was arrested on February 28, 1999, and charged as an adult. Here's the evidence against him. 1. Hay and Adnan met in school in 1995 and became friends over the years in the small and tight-knit gifted program. They started dating in March 1998, but Adnan was Pakistani Muslim from a conservative family that didn't want their little junior prom prince seeing any girls. He and Hay had to hide their relationship and all of its teenage lustfulness in the Best Buy parking lot from his parents. Her family only knew him as one of her best friends. Hay broke up with Adnan multiple times, writing in her diary that he could be jealous and possessive. One friend called him controlling and aggressive. 2, Hay wrote a letter to Adnan in November 1998 about breaking up with him, where she said she was annoyed at how he wasn't respecting her decision. She called him hostile and cold. When the police found the letter at Adnan's house in March 1999, he had written on the back, "I'm going to kill." No one really knows what this refers to, of course, but it didn't look great when Hay turned up dead. And according to a 2019 CDC survey, 1 in 12 high school students had experienced physical violence from a dating partner in the previous year. 3, the month after breaking up with Adnan, Hay went on to date her coworker at Lens Crafters, a man named Don. She added sappy notes about him to her AOL Instant Messenger profile, which would have been a big deal in 1998. She said her interests were Don, looking into his blue eyes, his car, and being his girlfriend. Prosecutors said Adnan had put his family and his religion on the line for Hay. He'd faked being a good Muslim at home and at the mosque. He'd lied to everyone, and he was left with nothing to show for it when Hay dumped him. Maybe he couldn't handle that. Four, Adnan told the school nurse that Hay had wanted to get back together with him. He said the night before she disappeared, she called to win him back. It does seem like they talked the night before Hay died, but for like a minute. Long enough for him to give her the number for the cell phone he'd just gotten. Meanwhile, Hay was writing Don's name 127 times in her diary on that same page where she scribbled Adnan's number. She seemed excited about Don, and nothing suggests that she was holding on to feelings for Adnan, aside from wanting to remain friends. Five, Hay's and Adnan's friend Krista says she heard Adnan ask Hay for a ride after school the morning she was killed. He made up a story about why he wouldn't have his car when he had specifically called his friend and weed dealer Jay Wilds and offered up his car and new cell phone for the day. Another friend says she saw Adnan talking to Hay after school. Adnan first said he never got that ride because he was running behind and Hay probably just left without him, which, of course, wouldn't make sense if he was seen talking to her at that time. He later said he wouldn't have needed a ride because he had his own car. Six, once Hay went missing, Adnan didn't try to contact her. He didn't call her, he didn't page her, and he didn't email her. He had called her 3 times the night before to give her his new cell number when he was going to see her at school in 8 hours, but he didn't try to get through to her at all once people were looking for her. Seven, in February 1999, detectives interviewed Adnan's friend Jen because he had called her multiple times the day Hay died. She knew Hay had been strangled, which wasn't common knowledge yet. The next day, she showed up to talk to the police again with her mom and her lawyer. She said that sometime around the time Hay died, she had picked up Jay, the friend of Adnan's who was also his dealer, at a local mall. And Jay told her that Adnan strangled Hay. He saw Adnan bury the body in Leakin Park, and Jay needed Jen to take him to a dumpster to throw away the shovel. They came back later to make sure there were no fingerprints on the shovel. Eight, police picked up Jay that evening, and he said Adnan called him on the day of the murder and asked to meet. When Jay arrived, Adnan had Hay's 1998 Nissan Sentra, and her body was in the trunk.
And then he goes, I did it. You don't fucking believe me? I did it. He pops the trunk open and he's like, she's all blew up in there, in the trunk.
When you see this person in the trunk, who is that person?
Haley.
They dropped her car off at a park and ride. Jay took Adnan to track practice, and then Jay picked him up again afterward to go bury the body.
What time of night was this?
It was about 7 because, like I said, I had paged Jen. And while we were digging, she had called back. And he just told her he was busy now and hung up. We dug for a little bit, and he said, that's good enough. Then he started to throw dirt all on her head. I tried, but the stuff started to get to me, so I sat down on a log that was real close and smoked a cigarette.
What was he doing?
He was burying her.
Jay was able to describe the clothes Hay was wearing, the same clothes she had worn to school that day, even though he had already graduated and wouldn't have seen her at school. He said he helped Adnan move Hay's car to a parking lot somewhere on the west side of Baltimore. During this police interview, Jay was able to take them to the car. Later, court-ordered cell phone records showed that Jay must have been lying during his questioning, so detectives talked to him again in March. He admitted that he had helped Adnan bury Hay, not just watched Adnan bury her, but he was scared to tell the police because he was a black man who sold drugs. Jay was charged as an accessory to murder after the fact and given a deal in exchange for his testimony. Jay pleaded guilty in July 2000 and got a suspended 5-year sentence, meaning he didn't serve any prison time, just probation. Nine, Jay told police that on the day Hay died, Adnan called a girl in Silver Spring and handed the phone over to Jay. Adnan had met this girl, Nisha, at a New Year's Eve party, but Jay didn't know her. Her number was indeed on Adnan's call log that day at 3:32 p.m., and his cell phone pinged a tower that wasn't near the school where he was supposedly waiting for track practice. So the prosecution says that shows Adnan was with Jay, not at school. Adnan's track coach didn't have a written record of his attendance at practice on the day of Hayes' murder, and he couldn't recall if Adnan was there or not. 10, Jay said Adnan was wearing red gloves the day Hay was killed and that she kicked one of the levers on the side of her steering wheel as she struggled against him. A bit of red material was found in Hay's hair, and the windshield wiper lever in her car was broken. That's certainly not all of the evidence, but it's what speaks to me when I'm thinking about who committed this crime and what might prove it. Adnan Verse went to trial in December 1999, but it quickly ended in a mistrial when the jury overheard the judge talking to Adnan's lawyer when they weren't supposed to. The second trial started in February 2000, and the jurors found Adnan guilty after deliberating for just a couple of hours. Many of them told the Serial podcast more than a decade later that they remained satisfied with their conviction. The judge said Adnan had planned the murder and manipulated Hay and his loved ones, and that he continued to manipulate them. She sentenced him to life in prison plus 30 years. Adnan appealed that same year, saying his lawyer didn't do a good enough job, but the Maryland Court of Special Appeals rejected it. Adnan's lawyer was later disbarred when her multiple medical conditions interfered with her work, but the judge in the original case against Adnan said that his lawyer was at the top of her game then, her legal talent and skill outstanding. Adnan also claims that he told her in 1999 to get some sort of a plea deal for him, insinuating that he was ready to plead guilty. He says that at the time, he didn't have the confidence that his alibi of being at school waiting for track practice while Hay was killed would hold up. Even though he supposedly had two letters from a friend named Asia saying that she saw him in the library after school, so he couldn't possibly have been off killing Hay. In 2010, Adnan's new lawyer filed a post-conviction review with those two letters attached. However, Asia wouldn't testify about them for the longest time, so a hearing eventually happened without her in October 2012. A prosecutor testified that Asia told him Adnan's family pressured her to help him, but Asia would later say that was untrue. A supporter of Adnan's that you may remember from the Serial podcast, Rabia, testified that Adnan's lawyer didn't want to use Asia's letters. The lawyer claimed Asia had her dates mixed up. Adnan testified that he asked for the plea deal, but the prosecutor testified that no one from Adnan's defense ever came to him requesting a deal. It was a whole lot of hearsay, so the judge denied the appeal. One of the things the judge cited was that Asia appeared in her letters to be willing to lie to help Adnan, and also she seemed to have seen him in the local public library, not the school library, when, of course, he said he was at school waiting for track practice. During the Serial podcast, he suddenly seemed to remember talking to Asia at the public library after saying for so long that it was just a normal day and he couldn't recall anything. Because who would remember a day when the ex-girlfriend, let's say you were lightly obsessed with, went missing, and the police contacted you, and it was your best friend's birthday, and you lent her boyfriend your car and cell phone? In 2016, with all sorts of renewed interest in the case and new documents floating around thanks to the success of the 2014 Serial podcast, Adnan got a second shot at post-conviction relief. The testimony at the hearing focused a lot on cell phone tower pings and their reliability. Because of a warning on an AT&T fax cover sheet, there had long been this idea that location data could be collected from outgoing cell phone calls, but not incoming. An FBI special agent testified that incoming call pings could be unreliable in some situations, but that Adnan's would have been reliable because he was in the same coverage zone most of the time. Still, the judge decided that the idea of this unreliability left a fog over the cell phone data and that Adnan's original lawyer should have dealt with it. The judge said Adnan should have a new trial. The prosecution appealed to the Court of Special Appeals while Adnan waited in prison, but they agreed with the lower court. They said Adnan should get a new trial, although for different reasons. They thought Adnan's lawyer should have looked into Asia and her library letters more. So in 2018, the prosecution appealed to the higher court of appeals, which disagreed with both lower courts and denied the new trial. They said it didn't matter if Adnan's lawyer followed up on Asia's letters because the alibi she gave, or made up, or whatever you think about the validity of her claims, didn't help Adnan because it conflicted with his own alibi of being at school. They said it actually highlighted the inconsistencies in Adnan's story, and the evidence against him was already strong. The United States Supreme Court declined to hear any further appeal. So Adnan's conviction was reinstated. In 2021, Adnan's lawyer approached the Baltimore State's attorney's office, which was looking at offenders who were just kids when they were put away long term. They concluded that although they weren't saying Adnan was innocent, he hadn't received a fair trial. They filed a motion to vacate, meaning Adnan would be free and his record completely cleared of the murder. A hearing was to take place only several days out. Victim Heyman Lee's brother was only told about the hearing by the state's attorney's office on a Friday when it was scheduled for the following Monday. At first, he said he would join via Zoom, but then he decided he wanted to be there in person. He filed a request for a one-week delay so he could travel to Baltimore. But the judge denied the request, so Hay's brother joined via Zoom. The conviction was vacated after 2 decades, and Adnan was released from prison.
After more than 20 years in prison, 42-year-old Adnan Syed is a free man tonight. Syed was serving a life sentence for the murder of his girlfriend. His case was the subject of the popular podcast Serial. Syed has always maintained his innocence.
The state's attorney said they wouldn't retry the case because recent DNA testing had revealed that Adnan's DNA wasn't found on Hay's shoes, as if that's the one thing that decides the case. But I should mention that no male DNA was found at the scene. The other thing that led to the conviction being vacated was this idea of new suspects having been developed since the original trial. One of them was cleared almost immediately after the investigation began based on a polygraph test. But he later went on to assault different women, so he suddenly seemed suspicious again. That man was the college maintenance worker who originally found Hay's body in the woods. He, of course, had no ties to Hay and no reason to kill her, and there was zero evidence against him aside from him calling in the body, a thing you probably wouldn't do if you're the one who hid it. The second suspect was a teacher from Adnan's mosque who helped him get his cell phone and then went on to assault multiple boys at his dental practice after putting them under anesthesia, a man named Bilal. See, there was a note later found in the original prosecution files that said he told her that he would make her disappear, he would kill her. And it seemed like this note came out of an interview from 99 or 2000 with Bilal's wife, so the implication was that she was saying Bilal had threatened to make Hay disappear. But when this huge, mind-blowing smoking gun was revealed, the original prosecutor came forward and said, "Oh, hey, I wrote that note," and it was after Bilal's wife said Adnan said he would kill Hay. So the idea of these two new suspects was a total red herring in my mind, but it was a little late at that point. The prosecution was even accused of committing a Brady violation by withholding the threatening note from the defense, even though it obviously wasn't pertinent to Adnan's defense because it was about him being the murderer. It wouldn't have helped him clear his name in any way. But Adnan and his supporters had already celebrated. He had gotten a job at Georgetown helping develop content for their prisons and justice initiative that included regular college classes and also training for prisoners returning to life on the outside. Adnan had moved on, but Hay's family wasn't done. Her brother filed an appeal saying it was unfair that he couldn't fully participate in Adnan's hearing. He said it was scheduled too quickly and he wasn't given enough notice. In March 2023, the Maryland Court of Appeals agreed with him and reinstated Adnan's conviction, just like that. They also said the case could be tried again. Although my understanding is that in Maryland, there's absolutely nothing that guarantees a victim's family the right to even speak at a motion to vacate hearing, so I'm not sure why it would matter if they're there or not. The appeals court said the family wasn't given adequate notice to attend, though, so Adnan was back to being a murderer, at least in the eyes of the law, but he had a window of 60 days where he wouldn't have to go back to prison. His attorneys, of course, appealed. In August 2024, the Maryland Supreme Court agreed that Adnan's convictions should be reinstated. It kind of makes your head spin the way this guy is guilty and then not guilty, free and then not free. The court also said that Hay's family should have been given more notice and should be allowed to participate in the hearings. They basically changed the precedent for victims' families going forward. There will be a new hearing, a redo, to decide if Adnan's conviction should be vacated. Adnan will remain free until any decision is reached. Again. The current state's attorney, who took the post in 2023, said on the campaign trail that Adnan's conviction should be thrown out. Now he says he'll have to review the matter, although many believe he'll let Adnan off the hook and vacate the convictions once again. This time, hopefully without any procedural issues. I remember I first tried to listen to the Serial podcast on my way into the office one day when everyone was talking about it, but I had really crappy headphones and the subway was really loud, so I quit a few minutes in. I tried to listen to it at my desk, but found that I just tune it out the moment I started working on anything, so I quit again. So I finally just listened to it maybe 5 or 6 years ago on a long road trip. And my takeaway at the time was that I wasn't sure if Adnan was guilty or innocent, and I certainly hadn't been convinced beyond a reasonable doubt either way. Maybe it was that fact that made me even more interested in the case. I didn't know where I stood, so I wanted to know more. I follow the Serial podcast subreddit on Reddit, where the case is still as hotly debated as ever. I listen to the many episodes of the prosecutor's podcast covering the case, and I don't have any skin in the game. I'm just interested in seeing justice done for Heyman Lee. I recognize that not automatically siding with Adnan could make me a target for his biggest supporter, the family friend who fed all of the information to the Serial podcast and regularly attacks anyone who dares to not be convinced of his innocence. She tweeted, "F*** the Baltimore prosecutor. May the rest of his life and hereafter be utter shit." And I'm always just like, who are these people so convinced one way or another? You cannot know the truth. The journalist who presented the Serial podcast talks about Adnan as a kid who got put away on shaky evidence. And I think a lot of people wouldn't exactly disagree with her. A lot of Adnan's guilt relies on believing Jay Wilds, a drug dealer who could never stick to the same version of his own story. I hate that we have to trust the things about his timeline that didn't change when we know he's a lying liar. But his basic story was backed up by the other witnesses and evidence. And I also don't believe Jay had any motive to kill Hay, and I don't think he had any reason to pin it on Adnan if he didn't do it. One juror in the original trial said, the defense attorney, basically she was trying to show that Jay killed her and was blaming it on Adnan. Nothing led us to believe that he had a motive to kill Miss Lee. That really stayed with me because she was so adamant that he was a liar. It's like, the more you try to push Jay as the killer, the more you recognize he didn't really have a reason to be. And a Baltimore homicide detective said, the first story anybody tells you is going to be a lie. Then when they refine that story, it's going to be less of a lie. I mean, Jay was a teenager, a black guy in Baltimore, being interviewed by homicide detectives who are telling them they want him for a murder, and the cops are very good at convincing people that your best bet is to talk yourself out of it when really all you're doing is talking your way into it. So basically, the detectives expect everyone to lie and have to solve the case around that. Even in 2019, Jay was still changing his story, saying the cops told him to say he saw Hay's body in the Best Buy parking lot when Adnan actually showed him the body at Jay's house. So yeah, it sucks that Jay lies, and it's led to more than 20 years of confusion and fog in this case. That, to some, is the shaky evidence the Serial podcast talks about. And I agree with what Serial said about Adnan being just a kid at the time of the murder. Most of us don't think anyone should be put away for life for something they did as a kid. But here's the thing. The HBO documentary, The Case Against Adnan Syed, revealed that Adnan was offered a plea deal in 2018 that would have let him out of prison in 4 years. He declined it. He refuses to admit it if he's guilty of the murder, and my feeling is that he can't. If he admits to it now, imagine how many people he'd be letting down. If we say the point of prison is to rehabilitate people, to get them to admit their guilt and get them some therapy and let them live the rest of their lives, then Adnan is not there yet. I honestly think most people would be probably fine with a 43-year-old Adnan being a free man out in the world after serving the 23 years that he did if he just admitted his guilt and apologized. But he won't. And maybe that's because he really didn't do it. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.